Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to the DNN podcast. Well, once again, we have a special series of podcasts produced by my students. Now, this set of the next 7 podcasts will have been produced by students in the graduate program of the Interdisciplinary School of Health Sciences. The first episode is brought to us by 4 very bright young women named Lynn, Andrian, Jennifer, and Katrina. And they've decided to analyze a paper called The Uncanny Return of the Race Concept, which was produced, published, in 2014 in the journal Frontiers in Human Neuroscience. If you want a copy of the paper, you can just Google the title, or you can go to the website at dionandon.com, click on podcast, and scroll down to the relevant episode, and there I've provided a link for you to access this particular paper. So without further delay, here are Lynn, Andrian, Jennifer, and Katrina.
So welcome to today's podcast. Today we have a panel of interdisciplinary health sciences graduate students working in qualitative research on women's health. So here with us today we have Jen, Kate, and Andrian, who are here to discuss the article published in Frontiers in Human Neuroscience.
And our modulator here is Lynn.
Yep. So before we begin, here's a little summary of the article. So this article is entitled The Uncanny Return of the Race Concept, and its aim is to question the recently increasing use of the race concept in contemporary genetics, psychiatry, neurosciences, and social studies. They discuss race and its related term used to assign individuals to distinct groups and caution that the concepts of ethnicity and culture neglect diversity. They suggest that the main factor contributing to the dangerous nature of the race concept is that it is based on a mixture of traditional stereotypes about physiognomy, which are deeply infused by colonial traditions. They also mention that culture and race are used interchangeably and that doing so ignores diversity and suggests homogeneity, which consciously or unconsciously appears to extend into the realm of biological similarities and differences. They then conclude by discussing alternative approaches and perspectives relevant to biological and cultural studies. So to start, what are your thoughts on the article?
I thought it was very strong overall. It was very well written. It's just like fascinating all the kind of disciplines that go into this concept of race and how it was created, and they really eloquently tied that all together. It wasn't really separated by discipline or anything. The discussion, it was organized well with subheadings and everything, and it tied in everything really nicely. It talked about the concept of race and how this was created initially, and it ties back to colonialism and how they were creating kind of this us and them mentality. And then it kind of factored into how psychiatric terms came about because of this. And for example, the term autism stems back to a Freudian term about autoeroticism. And it was just fascinating how all these different disciplines were tied in so eloquently.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I loved how interdisciplinary it was, for sure. I thought they made a really clear case. They successfully addressed their aim about whether classifying by race is actually scientifically useful. And I'm seriously questioning that it is now. So I really think they achieved their goal in that way. And I thought it was really rigorous. They used triangulation. They used multiple lines of evidence, mm-hmm. multiple sources, multiple disciplines to tie together a really coherent argument, which I thought made the article really strong. The only thing that I didn't love about it was that it is, granted, I understand it's a theoretical piece and it's meant to be theoretical, but the fact that it was unclear how this could be practically applied, like how our new definition of culture can be applied in research from now on, wasn't really clear. So the lack of the next steps left me wanting a little bit, I guess, at the end of the article.
Yeah, I agree. It was very theoretical, and it suggested like a great call to action for everyone to understand the true complex meaning of culture and not just use it interchangeably with race, but it's hard to figure out how to apply that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess we wanted more on that specific aspect. And also, I have to say that there were no really clear or stated research question, which I would have loved to. And also, the figures were not really useful for us to understand the purpose of some example.
Yeah, they used a number of figures in the middle of their discussion. It didn't really add to the strength of their argument.
Yeah, agree.
Additionally, the whole kind of message they were sending was the different the definition of race and the definition of culture, and it was never really explicitly defined, like the definition of race was never really stated explicitly. And although we understood it by the end that they were the difference they were getting across there was race is about like someone's physical, like phenotypic kind of variations and stuff, and putting people into these mutually exclusive boxes. It never really explicitly defined race, which probably would have been important for the meaning of the article.
I agree completely.
That's true. So they didn't define the term race. However, they did define the term culture, and they suggest that it refers to a socially degenerated and dynamic complex of thoughts, perceptions, values, and meanings, which incorporate multiple diffuse and changing networks. So let me ask, what does culture mean to you?
Yeah, I actually really like the definition they came to at the end. I thought it was a real strength of the article. Culture is incredibly complex. It encompasses many things. And part of that is probably your ethnic background and where you're from and what your origins are. But it's also language and patterns of thoughts and the values of the environment you're currently in. And that changes. It's a very dynamic idea.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I really like the definition they provided. And what really resonates with me is the fluidity and the dynamic nature of culture. And they compared that quite nicely to race, which the concept of race, it cited historical literature about how race was created to be this very static meaning. It was created during times of creation and how that would never change. It was based on, you know, the creator, and they created one dominant race and... just like the contrast of how they compared that with race and how it definitely should not be used synonymously, because one is very static and one is very dynamic.
I totally agree, Jen. I really believe that culture is a complex process of living in a setting of values, belief, and perspective, as the author stated in the article. I know my definition sounds more theoretical, but I think that culture is really what surrounds and supports an individual to grow, learn, and blossom as part of a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But again, like, we're acknowledging how complex this is, and that just makes it more difficult to apply it to our own research. It's hard to know what parts of culture we need to prioritize when we're doing our own research and things like that.
Exactly.
Right. So let me ask, are there really differences, or are there really some races that are smarter or more intelligent than others?
Absolutely not. Like what we've now established is that any former methods of assessing or measuring, say, intelligence or athletic performance, and attributing these to some fundamental biological differences between different quote-unquote races is flawed. For example, a commonly cited one is, and this was brought up in the article, which I thought was a great example, is that Caucasians typically tended to outperform African Americans on IQ tests. And we attributed that difference to a difference in intelligence across races. It actually has nothing to do with any kind of biological trait, and it has everything to do with the socioeconomic status of the participants and the biases intrinsic to an IQ test. So we've proven that the actual biological usefulness of race and there being differences, it really doesn't have any scientific backing or value anymore. You also have to look at how, like, IQ scores have gone up. I mean, they've gone up over a full standard deviation over the last 50 years. That suggests right there that IQ scores are largely due to the environment and not due to anything, you know, inherent to our race or our biology.
Okay, that was well put. So let me ask then, how about this concept of race being a barrier? Could you maybe give me an example of that?
Yeah, well, when we're looking at studies, a lot of them are distinguished by culture, and what this will then impair how doctors practice, since they will base their practices on evidence-based research. So it will then influence the way they're treating patients, which will impair mostly for the minorities like African American, the outcome of the healthcare they received. So in terms of treatment access or adherence to treatment, it can really have a big impact. So I totally believe that social exclusion in healthcare settings is frequent but totally inappropriate.
And again, in this case, when we're talking about research based on cultures, it's definitely a proxy term for race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the article, they state that there's no neutral or harmless use of the race concept. So what are the larger impacts of using race classifications?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen this in countless examples throughout history, and this is why we need to take an interdisciplinary approach to this topic, because it's so complex. I mean, you look at even just how socially constructed race is. It's really something of our own creation. Like, for example, when the Belgians colonized Rwanda, they basically separated out the individuals that lived there for census purposes. And they wanted people to identify and fit into these nice, clear categories. And the way that the Belgians decided to divide these people was based on their wealth, ultimately the number of cattle that they owned, and physical traits like the length of their nose. And this was a large contributor to establishing the racial or ethnic groups that we now call the Hutus and the Tutsis in Rwanda. And this had devastating impacts, ultimately culminating in a genocide of one of these ethnic racial groups, however you want to define that. So we can't underestimate the impact mm-hmm. that this has of us constructing these racial definitions and still continuing to apply them today in our research.
Okay, so you've all made some interesting points. So let me just throw out this question. So why is culture important in research?
I think, we go back to this idea that race and culture are not synonymous. And I think we've made a really good argument, as the article has, that race actually doesn't really help us in research. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it can only be quite destructive. But culture can be helpful. It does really impact the decisions that we make, the way we think, and these are all important considerations in research.
Mm-hmm. And the article does state that it is important to take into account cultural practices as well. Although they're saying it's that race is definitely not what defines and separates populations necessarily, that it is important to take other things into account. They give an example of grapefruit consumption as a cultural practice and how that influences response to treatment and affects drug plasma levels and things like that. So it is important to take certain aspects into account about a culture's way of life and things like that.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay. So the article is entitled The Uncanny Return of the Race Concept. So what's your opinion on this return aspect of the race concept?
Well, just from the beginning, even though the Association of the American Physical Anthropologists rejected the utility of race in research in in 1996, I truly believe that its use has been maintained throughout those years. I don't think it's because a specific discipline rejects its use that the others were not using it. So consequently, I believe that use of race in research, whether it was discriminatory or racist or not, it has been part of study designs for forever.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was the strongest choice of a title as the overarching kind of theme of the article. I think we're all kind of in agreement that, yes, although it was in the 90s really kind of discussed that the term race shouldn't be used, the mentality never went away. Instead, just the creation of all these proxy terms came to be in research. So it never really went away to return, as the title states.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, I completely agree. I mean, it's to act like it disappeared off the map, and just because we recognize that it has no biological usefulness, I think is a little bit naive, and perhaps was not the most appropriate way to go in terms of the title and direction of the article.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, so some of you threw out this word interdisciplinary or interdisciplinarity from like the article or how the article came to, I guess, touch on these different disciplines. So can you tell me a little bit about how the article really touched on the term or the aspect of interdisciplinarity?
Well, at the end of the article, they're talking about pharmacokinetics, which is, I think, a fabulous example of what interdisciplinarity is can be implied in research or also in healthcare settings. So pharmacokinetics is an approach where, like, treatment is individualized to patient rather than categorizing the patient in order to give them the best treatment that fits to the patient. So it... the implication is that we do individual genetic profiling to then administer the most suited treatment for the patient based on his metabolism and lifestyle. So we do consider culture when doing pharmacokinetics. And it also includes a number of various disciplines like genetics, pharmacokinetics, bioinformatics, and medicine. And the result of all this interdisciplinarity process is personalized medicine, which I think will emerge a lot in the future years.
And yeah, just to add to that, personalized medicine, like if it's going to be successful, it needs to be interdisciplinary. It needs to tie in so many different tracks in order to have accurate screening tests and things like that.
Okay, so we kind of pointed out some maybe negative things about the article, but what are the wider implications of the study's findings, do you guys think?
I think it's hard to say at this moment in time. I think now we're all sitting here as newer researchers trying to grapple with this article and figure out what to do with it and how we might apply it in our own research. I think it's all really made us realize how much we do classify. We purposively select our participants a lot of the time based on belonging to a particular race or a particular ethnic group, which is so fascinating to me now that we choose to approach our research in this way and categorize people this way.
And so, yeah, and we never really gave any thought to it before. It was kind of just an automatic, and it is in a lot of fields of research because, you know, the goal is you want a homogeneous sample, but you really need to critically think about what definitions or what exclusion and inclusion criteria will give you this homogeneous sample and why we choose to define our study populations by a race or by a certain cultural aspect.
Mm-hmm. Right, I agree with that. And for my own like personal research, I'll be working with Arab immigrant women, but I don't know how I'm defining Arab at this point. Is it Arab based on what I believe as an Arab, or is it based on what they believe as an Arab? So if they self-identify as being Arab, but I don't necessarily see them as that, what do I do in that case? Do I include them in my study? Do I exclude them from my study? So it just gave me something, I guess, to think about that I hadn't thought about before.
And yeah, that really brings in like the complexity of culture, because that could go by geographical boundaries, nationalities, practices.
Linguistics.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, thinking about our research here on out, again, with such a theoretical article, it's strong and it's powerful, but it is very challenging to apply it to our individual research. But in conclusion, yeah, very strong article, and it's just so important for researchers to be aware that the concept of race was created centuries ago, and it was always created with this, it was always associated with negative connotations and has this static meaning to it. And researchers need to be aware that we can't be trying to squeeze our target populations into these mutually exclusive boxes based on physical traits and phenotypic variations, because we're creating these imaginary borders that don't necessarily exist. These cultures aren't homogeneous based on certain characteristics. All right, thank you for listening, everyone.